Your life is just as good as the voices you listen to. Who you are letting lead you, the voice that you're trusting in your life, is so important. And there are so many voices in this life. We remember that according to statistics right now, the average American adult is online 11 hours and 6 minutes every day. Trying to find a voice to listen to, trying to find a voice to give peace or to help with sense of joy in their life. And it's God's voice. One of my joys in this service, second service, is right now, this service is being translated in Spanish. So we have several in our congregation that right now have a little piece in their ear as they're listening on their cell phone because they want to know what's being said and understand it clearly. And they are being intentional and even very gracious to all of us by saying, I'm willing to have that extra step to hear God's voice. And this morning, all of us can take an extra step. We're asking that during this summer, whether you feel like you're a person who writes in journals or not, we're asking you to give this summer over to having a prayer journal. And several of you showed me yours today. And when you leave this morning, you can get your very own Cornerstone Summer Prayer Journal sticker, because that will make it much more spiritual and anointed, right? But we're asking you to go an extra step this summer, not to do something that is long and hard, but just simple steps each day. And we're going to look at Luke chapter 24, starting at verse 13. We're going to look at a story that if you've been in church for a while, and especially near Easter and Resurrection Sunday, you've heard about the two disciples walking on the road to Emmaus. And I bring up this story in the middle of prayer journaling because I think it's a really interesting moment to see that even the risen Savior uses the scripture to speak to those that he's closest to. Because we are in this time where we think, well, if Jesus is real, he'll just talk to me. And I would say, yeah, you know, I mean, Jesus and his love is going to come to your heart in a wonderful way. But I want you to read about a story of two disciples who Jesus is right next to. And yet they don't realize that God is speaking to them until it's through the scriptures that they realize Jesus is right here talking to me today. And that is my prayer. You'll see in your handout, and you'll probably need it today. The one verse I wrote down is Luke 24, 32. I'm praying this is what you're going to say sometime this summer. Were not our hearts burning with us while Jesus talked with us on the road and opened up the scripture to us? That's my prayer, that you're going to have that experience. If you aren't, and maybe you already are, but I want to strengthen that today. I want us to look at Luke chapter 24, 13 through 36. I'm not going to read every verse. I'm just going to follow the theme of Jesus and speaking in the scripture. And I want us to remember, as I try to mention every Sunday, that before we read this, let's take a moment to recognize this is the Word of God. It's sacred. It's a gift to us. And as I'm going to share today, it's the most reliable way to hear God's voice. And so, knowing that the risen Savior is with us today, walking on the road that you're walking on today, would you just allow God to speak? Starting at verse 13. Now that same day that Jesus had risen from the dead, two disciples were walking to a village called Emmaus. As they talked with each other about all that had happened, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. He had resurrected that morning. Notice verse 16. But they were kept from recognizing him. Jesus is right there and they don't recognize him. It's like you and I a lot. Verse 17, Jesus asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? And it says, they stood still, their faces downcast. In verse 18, which I'm sure Cleopas forever regrets that this is in the Bible, says one of them named Cleopas asked, "Duh, are you only a visitor and don't know what's going on?" I mean, just kind of ironic, that moment. I'm sure Cleopas is having a hard time living that down even in heaven if he's there. Do you not know what has happened there these days? And Jesus, oh, what things? "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him." Notice verse 21. "But they had hoped," past tense, "we had hoped," past tense, "that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel." The opening song we sang this morning was this idea of, like, I'm not going to give up. I'm just not going to give up because God's going to. I just, the Lord had put on my heart, there's going to be some person today, it's just like, when I talk about Jesus, I talk about him in the past tense. Like, I used to hope in him a lot. Now maybe I just go through the motions. Verse 25, after the conversation, Jesus says to them, "How foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe." Notice where Jesus goes to get breakthrough to them. "All that the prophets have spoken." Verse 27, "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus, the risen Christ, uses the scripture to explain that he's right there with him." Verse 30, later, when Jesus was at the table with them, they still don't recognize who's with them. He takes bread and breaks it and gives thanks and begins to give it to him. Verse 31, "Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him." Of course, once they recognized he was there, there was no need for the physical anymore. And then he disappears. Verse 32, this is the verse. This is my prayer for you this summer. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road of the life we were traveling and opened the scriptures to us?" Verse 33, they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the disciples assembled together and saying, "It is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Verse 36, while they were still talking about what God had said to them and Jesus appearing to them, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." Verse 45, we'll see that it says again, then Jesus opened up their minds so they could understand the scriptures. I meet a lot of people who have been sort of trained by whatever experience or lack of experience they've had in church, that hearing from God is for the pastor and the leaders of the church. And I hope you hear today that the very model of what Jesus did and what the Bible says is you and I, we were redeemed and saved so we could hear the voice of God in our lives again. But I want to encourage you, because probably if you've been in church in a while, you've also been around somebody who swore to you they heard God, and you're like, I'm pretty sure that's just you, right? Like, we've had that one too, right? Well, God told me that, I'm like, okay, and pretty much proved that, yeah, that wasn't God, that was you. And so we're in this tension of, we know we're made to hear the voice of God, but at the same time, we really don't understand how to. So it begins with the Word of God, and what I really want you to hear today is that the most reliable way to hear God's voice, especially when your feelings, relationships, and circumstances overwhelm you, is through God's word. And then we're going to talk about with the confirmation of God's people. You know, we talk about that we want you to have a great service, but I want you to have a greater life. I want this to be a powerful time. I'd rather you have better relationships once you leave this place. And we need to hear God's voice, because none of us can do relationships well on our own. But here is what I'm hoping that we as a church family will grow in. To hear God's voice correctly, focus on God's word consistently. Can I get an amen for that one? All right? If no matter how good life has been up to this point, if you want life to be better starting today forward, to hear God's voice correctly, focus on God's word consistently. And you may be a person who says, well, that's kind of discouraging because I haven't been consistent. Like, no, starting today, one step, and maybe tomorrow just a little bit more. but growing in this, because God has a great way of taking 5 loaves and 2 fish and doing big things with it. And if you'll just start in a little way, if you'll just take the family invitation to grab that journal and start each day, whether it's 1 verse or 1 hour, just like I'm just today, I'm just going to try to take some time to focus on God's word so that I can hear God's voice well in my life. He'll do more than you can ask for or even imagine. Now, there are a few things I notice about this story. First of all, it's pretty obvious that these two disciples are a lot like us. There are a lot of things keeping us from recognizing who is with us, that he's speaking to us. I think it's important to note, we don't know if it's a man or a woman or two men here. I mean, it's not clear. But I do think it's a good reminder that marriages in isolation can miss the voice of God, even if together they're praying a lot. Like, I think it's also healthy as marriages to make sure we get outside ourselves, interact with the body of Christ. Because even as a marriage, sometimes we can be kept from recognizing what God is saying to us. So it's a healthy thing to make sure that you invite others, the small group fair, for example, a Sunday morning small group, into your life to help us here, because there are a lot of things going on in our lives. Sometimes it's relationships that are stressing out, it's burdens financially, it's turmoil and circumstances. They can keep us from recognizing that Jesus is right with us. Now, I do need to give honor where honor is due, and some of what I'm going to share is part of a Bible teacher at our church family that I love and respect a lot, Larry Fox, who's in the back, so back over there. And Larry, when I first saw his notes about prayer journaling, he would always talk about the idea that this mind, as a sinful nature, it wants to do anything but focus on Jesus, right? It doesn't want to submit to the knowledge of God. So that part of prayer journaling and part of the idea of giving your mind something to do by writing it down and thinking through words was actually a way to get this mind to submit to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Because a lot of times we need to give our minds something to do as we're trying to talk to God. Because we've all experienced, I think I'm going to take a few minutes to focus on God, and then what happens? Like, everything in the world grabs our attention. So one of the reasons we're inviting you to do this summer is let's get this mind under control. A matter of fact, one of the things I do is I not only have my prayer journal, but usually I have some sort of to-do list on my phone or a little piece of paper nearby, that when all of a sudden my mind at that moment wants to remind me that I did not take out the garbage and I forgot that bill and why am I still wearing this shirt? It's got 5 stains on it. You know, whatever it is, I just write it down on a little piece of paper and then I can get my mind back to what it is, so I'm not thinking, oh, I don't want to forget that. It's just simple little practical ideas like that, because when our mind, we need to make sure that it's not preoccupied on our own thoughts. Because don't you get the story? There are two people who are talking about Jesus, but they don't know Jesus is talking to them, right? Isn't that, like, can't you and I fall into that? We talk a lot about Jesus, but we're so preoccupied with managing, I got to get to Emmaus, I'm done with Jerusalem, you know, nobody's going to take care of me about me, That was awful. I can't believe I saw Jesus die and go through that and everything I thought he said. Our brains clipping at 1,000 miles an hour and we're thinking all our thoughts. And we're even talking about Jesus, but we're not listening to him. And so one of the things we do with the prayer journal is it gives us a way to focus our mind to think about Jesus and about what we want to say to him. And when we're here, it doesn't mean we have to do it in every second of the day, but it's a good discipline. Freedom comes from discipline. If you want to be free to play whatever you want on the piano, you're going to have to have the discipline of practicing the piano. And there are a lot of times as we have the discipline of learning to hear the voice of God and spend time in his word, we become free to recognize his voice in so many other moments. So that's what this is about. And as I said before, it is significant to me that Jesus, who is the risen Savior, and at my point, you know, thinking at that point, he defeated sin, death. He took the keys of hell away. Like, he could have done anything at that moment. And he chose to use the scriptures to speak to people. He still does that today. He does that today. And a matter of fact, in John chapter 1, it says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In the beginning was the Word, verse 1, and the Word was God and with God. It's Jesus and the Word are always together. And the Jesus who promised to never leave you or forsake you, he's right with you. But sometimes until we open this up, we don't know he's speaking to us. So that's the goal and the heart of this idea, to give you a chance to do that. Now, again, I know some of our personalities are not inclined to be like, I'm not a journaler, whatever. Would you just give it a shot this summer? It doesn't have to look big. You don't have to write a book. But give yourself, try to challenge this mind to focus more on what Jesus is saying. Prayer journaling is the writing of our prayers, and by faith, allowing God to speak and guide us based on his word. Now, if you know these terms, we're a Pentecostal charismatic church. So we believe in the gifts of the Spirit and the word of prophecy, and God can move and speak in many different ways. Next week, we're going to start talking about the different ways God speaks besides his word. We're going to call all of them secondary, and this is the primary, because every other way God speaks is always subject to this right here. So we've got to get more consistent here so we can understand those things. And what we want to do in our prayer journaling is we want to focus it around God's word so that we let God's word guide us when we tend to go off in our own way. And we're going to talk about how to do that. A matter of fact, if you look at the back of your handout, I've got just some basic ways. This is not a complete guide. There are a thousand other things to say. There are spiritual nuances and theology to throw out to you. I can only give you a little bit. Some of you opened up your family guide, you saw 7 points in the back, and you prayed for Jesus to return right now, because you're like, this is going to be the longest sermon ever. I'm going to try not to do that to you, okay? I'm writing it out. By the way, there is out in the small group fair, which we're hoping you'll go to next, there is additional teaching notes on how to journal. And some of the frequently asked questions, I've got them there for you. So I really want you to make this summer a time of hearing God's voice. Let's just touch base on this outline for a few minutes. Some of you, this is going to be just something you know already. I want to encourage you. It may be a refreshing time to think at childlike faith again. For others, there's like, oh, it could be this practical. Yes, it can. Okay, it can be. We want to read his word. We want to start with his word. Did you notice that the disciples in the story, they start with, here's what's going on in my life, and here's what I'm thinking, and here's what I'm doing. And Jesus has to do what with them? Pull them back to, let's not start with your circumstances, let's start with the word. And I'm telling you what, that is a healthy thing for you and I to do. Again, we go through difficult times, we can get in turmoil. We tend to come to God to only talk to him about what we want to talk about. And what I'll let you know is over the course of time, you'll be more healthy and you'll hear the voice of the Lord more clearly if you don't start where with you are, but where he is. Start with his word. And then, as we'll see, we'll get to all the things you're walking through. Because Jesus does take the scripture and do what? Talk about what they've just been through. Wait, no, that's in the scripture. What you're doing, what you're dealing with, that's right there. And all of a sudden, something changes in them that can change in us. You will note that in my notes there, I mentioned the idea of a reading plan. I'd love for you to pick up where we're reading in as a church. That's on the top of your sermon notes, so you can just follow right along. Now, I don't ever end where I start. So now, if I'm in a busy day, and some of you as parents, or even as grandparents, it's hard to get 10 minutes alone. And so really the only sanctuary you have is the bathroom in the master bedroom, right? Because you can lock your door and the bathroom door. And that's like the only way maybe your kids won't talk to you every second of the day. So we get that. Sometimes it's a verse. But then when we have a little bit of time, students that are in the room, high school students, middle school, even elementary, I started prayer journaling when I was 10 years old. I mean, I met Jesus. I'm telling you what, I met Jesus at 10, and he's the same Jesus. I know a lot more words, and I spell a lot more of them right now, but I'm telling you what, I met him then. And so this is a good, summer is a good time to start to do this. For all of us, we're going to be on vacation, and one of the reasons we did this during summer was because most of us tend to go on vacation spiritually when we go on vacation physically. Let's turn that around this summer, and you might actually have a little bit more time, right? Bring your journal with you. Watch online when you're away. Let's grow together in hearing God's voice. The reason I want to suggest you start with what the church is reading with is because it increases our spiritual unity. The more we read the Word of God together, the more the Spirit of God can use us to one another, to encourage one another. Will He still bless us? Can we serve each other? Yeah, but there's something that goes deeper when we read God's Word together. So you may start and and then jump over to your favorite psalm. Sure. But I want to encourage you to build that discipline up because it increases the way God, increases our unity in the way God can use us together. So that's read His Word. And as you see there, you might want to finish by just writing out, get that mind to focus. Write out the scripture that you think is the one most significant for you. Just write it out, okay? After that, not rocket science, write out what you want to say. A lot of us in this room, we are pushed around by vague emotions. We just, today, everything went wrong. I remember talking to someone the other day who said, you know, someone said, give me seven things that went right this week or something like that. I forget the story. And they're like, you know, I went in my day having this general feeling that the week was bad. And then when I actually took a look at it, I realized God did a lot of good things. And what is that moment? That's the enemy stealing the good. Because the enemy can't steal what isn't there. So the enemy, you are faithful one day, or God does something good, or you enjoy His presence, and the next day He's trying to steal what you just had. So sometimes taking some time to write out what you're thinking. Like me, there are times I'm like, I'd rather think it real quick. It's like, take some time. Just write out a little bit. If it's not a day where you can do that, that's fine, but jump back to it. Let's try to grow in the grace of God. So we want to take time to write out that prayer, and sometimes that prayer is, God, this seems like it's true for everybody but me. You should write that out if that's what you're thinking. It's not like God doesn't know you're thinking it, right? So just like, let it be a conversation with Him. And then, here's the idea, and some of us are like, I don't know if I can do this. Is it right? Or not me, maybe you, Pastor Sean. No, just write out in everyday ways. Just, we talked last week about God's everyday voice. Let him just begin to speak to you. Let him begin to speak to you. And what's going to happen there, I usually kind of write out my prayer, and then I write out what God says. And every once in a while, I'll kind of like throw it back and say, but God. But I tend to just write it out. But some of us, you know, it's just heavenly texting, right? You know, hey, God, how's it going? Pretty good. How are you? Yeah, you know what it looks like? But as you do this, I literally had someone come up and say, Pastor Sean, I started journaling, but it can't be God because I'm pretty sure I misspelled three words. I'm like, well, duh. You know, God's using your mind to speak to you. So if you don't know how to spell that word, it's coming out incorrect. All right? Could it be from God? We're going to learn about testing it. But the test is not, is it spelled right? Okay? The test is not, does it sound like the King James Version of the Bible? Those aren't tests for how the voice of God speaks. And so it's going to come through your mind, so you're going to use your words. I remember the time in this room, we had a special Christmas devotional quiet time. And we were in the middle of this room, and there were little stations where you could go and remember what Jesus had done for you. And we invited some guys from the Jeff Davis Corridor that were pretty rough. And they came in, and it literally was right over there. This guy was there, and God started speaking to him. And he, for the first, and had not, you know, kind of a rougher guy, hadn't been to church a lot. At the top of his lungs, in the middle of like, oh, silent, holy night, he's going, God, I'm such a blankety blank sinner. How can you forgive me for all the blank, blank stuff I've done? And everybody's looking around. I'm like, he ain't wrong. I mean, it's just, you know, I mean, he's. You know, I mean, probably not the words to say in church, but that's all the words he knew. He wasn't wrong. God was speaking to him. You know, it's just discipleship afterwards would be helpful. But it's just like, it's okay. It's going to be your words. I mean, I'm not saying, well, I'm going to get so in trouble for that. Let's move on. All right, so number five. Now, as we focus on God's word, at some point, we do go to the things that we're experiencing. Because sometimes God speaks to us through a prompting. We're going to talk about that next week. How do you recognize God's voice in the middle of prompting? I just feel prompted. I feel led. What does that mean? Through our pain. I mean, there's things that, what is C.S. Lewis? You know, he shouts at us in our pain. It's like through our pain, God shouts to us. His voice is like saying, I'm here. The people in our lives. I'm hoping, I think 2 weeks from now, to talk about the one place we don't expect God to speak, but it's the one place he needs to speak most, that's family. It's like we tend to, yeah, that's exactly. It's like, okay, Pastor John. But these are all secondary ways according to the Bible, but what we're going to do is every day, like, hey, start in the Word, and then move to what you're thinking. Move to what's going on there. And sometimes there's something here, and sometimes there's not. But we're gonna unpack the six most common ways God speaks to us outside of his word. It's going to be excellent. And this is the one all of us want to know, right? Consistency. The issue of how do you test it. Now, I took the Good News version of the Bible because I thought it was a nice reminder that it's about what we hear as much as prophecy in a public setting. But it says this, do not restrain the Holy Spirit. Do not despise inspired messages. Put all things to the test. Keep what is good and avoid every kind of evil. You know, the scripture tells us that if we truly believe God speaks, we'll test it, which is a little bit of the opposite of what some people do. It's like, oh, I don't want to doubt. I don't want to like, it's like, well, okay, I mean, I kind of get that, but the scripture tells us we're supposed to test what we hear, and the way we test it is this word consistency. There are a few things we should look at. Is it consistent? And what you're going to find is, over time, you'll really sense that's the voice of God in my life. So here are a few things that we should see with what God just said, because last time in my journal, God just told me to get a new car, and I was super pumped, even though I don't have the money for it. You know, it's like, okay, maybe I should test that word. Maybe my wife wants me to test that word, right? To like, okay, and is it consistent with the Bible? And we don't have to know everything about the Bible. God's victory and promises, the life and teachings of Jesus, the fruit of the Spirit, trusted Christians, which honestly I would put above you trying to figure out in your own life if it's consistent. Not that that's not important, but I just put people who know you well to give you a little background, like say, okay, I think when that happens to you, you always do that, and you always think God feels this way. It's like you should kind of recognize that pattern going on. So we want to look at this. Now, I'm not saying this has got to be a big, long process. As a matter of fact, I'm going to invite Pastor Brandon to come up with me for a few minutes. And Pastor Brandon and I, he's someone who does this a lot. And let's just talk through a few of these just because there's probably some questions we have. So welcome, Pastor sure. Brandon, would you? That means...
Yeah. Before we jump in, I want to share with you guys. So this is a vintage 1997 composition journal. And this is what Pastor Sean gave me when I was in his youth group and he first taught me these steps and how to hear God's voice. Isn't that cool? So our Atlanta team, they were born in like 2006 and 2005. So this is like, you know, 10 years older than them. Isn't that amazing? But anyways, so it's just great. I think these steps, and for me growing up, knowing how to hear God's voice and practicing that discipline, and I think one of the ones that jumps out at me is this whole idea of how, is it consistent with the Bible? And so one of the things that I've learned to do when I'm hearing God's voice is God speaks to me a word, and it's unclear. Okay, God, can you confirm that with a scripture? Can you speak to me some more? Give me more clarity. And so a few years ago during our 14 days of prayer and fasting in January, my wife and I were praying over our year, and the Lord gave us these words, open hands. And we didn't know what that meant, and we didn't understand, you know, what were we supposed to do? So we just asked God for clarity, and God gave me, just in my mind, the reference, Psalm 128. And I didn't have that memorized at that point, but we turn there and it says, blessed are those who learn to walk in my ways and to fear the Lord. And for me, if you know, I'm a planner, I'm organized, I like to have my ways of doing things. And that verse really spoke clarity to me that God would say, hey, just open your hands with this year. Let it be my plans, not yours. Follow what I want to do. And that really was a key word for us. Yeah. And I really think it helped just being consistent. Okay, this is the word of the Lord, and now we know how to walk it.
Yeah. Obviously, we grow in understanding the Bible. Quick shout out, where's Edward? Edward, right here, our Hispanic fellowship. It's his birthday today, too. Happy Father's Day and happy birthday. Feliz cumpleaños. But Edward, for our Hispanic fellowship, is going to do an overview of the Bible on Wednesday nights. And so that's the whole idea. Like, take some time to study, but then you can rely on some other people as well. I think the fruit of the Spirit is an important one, Galatians 5:22. Notice it's fruit, not fruits. I think the easiest way to distinguish between is this my emotion or is this from God is that there should always be more than one fruit involved. So you can't say you love somebody if you don't have self-control, right? Because that's part of the fruit too. So if you're just loving someone but you don't have any self-control, that's not from God. That's from you, all right? The whole idea, it's good to tell people about Jesus and to tell them that that way is wrong. But if you're not kind and gentle, then that's more you than God who's witnessing at that moment, all right? So that's the fruit of the Spirit. Just see if that one thing that could be an emotion or a fruit, if it's hanging out there by theirself and there's no other connection to the other eight, that's a pretty big sign that's not you. That's God. That's not God. That's just you. So that's one that I use.
And I think, too, off of that, one of the things Sean taught me, especially when I was early doing this, was God's voice is always going to be the voice of love. Yeah. And so, especially early in my faith and when there were some insecurities I was struggling with, that was an important word for me to hear when I went to go in prayer is, okay, what is love? So just I think for those of us who are learning how to hear God's voice, it's an important thing to remember.
So, good.
Another one?
Yeah.
Hey. Let's see, God's victory and promises. So there was a word for me. I actually went to the Lord and was praying about our finances, and I wanted a breakthrough in our finances, and I had this agenda. I was going to go and pray, and the Lord really spoke a convicting word that those who give and it'll be given unto you. And so really that was a time when I went with an agenda, but the Lord's word kind of tested my prayers. Yeah. And really from that moment, I went to my wife, we spent some time praying, and we began giving more to missions from that moment, and then that's when God just began to speak more words about our finances. And again, it really was in connection with the whole open-handed word that he spoke to us at that time. Right. So
we did that whole series on Never the Same, that God's never going to reinforce you being a victim because Jesus has overcome every enemy of your soul and every enemy of this life. And so part of knowing God's victory and promise, and I love the example Brandon said, he's like, I was always thinking, you know, when I get more money, I'll be more generous. And God was like, no, how about giving? It'll be given to you. Like, be faithful what I've given you. Make sure you're giving what I'm supposed to, and then you'll find more. So the idea of victim mentality, it's always God's never gonna reinforce you as a victim. At the same time, that next one, C, Jesus, his life was a servant. And so sometimes it's like, well, I'm not going to be a victim, so I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to forget the fruits of the Spirit and just do things my way, and if they don't like it, fine, because they can't control me and I'm not a victim. And it's like, well, hold up on that too, all right? So the first Sunday of September is my lead pastor anniversary, and I always that Sunday do foot washing. And the reason I do that is I'm trying to remember that Jesus was always a servant. And if I'm going to be a leader, I need to remember how to serve. And so that's just that idea of, like, I remember this. So there's more here. I will boil it down to this one's really helpful, number five. You know, it's just, it's about trusted Christian friends. I'm not saying because they're the ones who got the word of the Lord for you, but when you're walking with them, God's word will develop more clearly in your life. It's good?
That's all I got.
All right, very good. Thank you, Pastor Brian. Can we say thank you to him? Let's wrap up. Step number seven in your journal is, what are you going to do with what you heard? I'm telling you, so important. Let's all have a really honest moment in church. A lot of us, it's like, we've been in church so long, it's like, yeah, that's for the other person. I already know this stuff, right? It's like, no. Don't get that attitude. Every day, when the voice of the Lord speaks, be willing to listen. Don't deceive yourself, right? So every day, there should be a sense of, I need to do this. And it doesn't have to be necessarily earth-shaking. Maybe it's like, I need to be a little bit more polite to my own family when I'm polite to everybody else at work. You know, I need to forgive. Maybe I need to go call that person. Maybe I need to take that person out to dinner. Maybe I need to spend some time with. I don't know what it is for you, but I'm just saying you should walk away from a journaling. Again, focus this mind, right? Focus this mind. Like, no, I'm gonna do this. And there's power in obedience. There's power in obedience. And so in a few moments, we're going to even have a salvation moment. And literally, I talk to people who are like, yeah, I totally felt God but I didn't, you know, I didn't make a decision. And so then I, you know, it was months later I came back and realized he was talking to me the whole time. And what's different? Well, the difference is you said yes. Like you responded, you know? And so I just want to encourage you, it's really important to obey, to take a step. And if you'll take one step every day, you will be amazed at where you get. Do not let the enemy condemn you with, yeah, but we all know this part of your life. Well, God does too, and he sent his son for you, and just start. You know, just let him love you. Let him love you right where you are. Do you notice? And I noticed in the Emmaus story, I mean, they were good Jews, right? So there were a number of scriptures, and even what Jesus had shared at the upper room, depending on what you think about if they were there or not. But, like, when they had a moment when they did the word with Jesus, all of a sudden everything opened up to them. Then it all came together for them. So you and I, like, there are things we know, but we need to take a step, and things are going to come together then. We're going to realize Jesus is in this. Take a step. And then, you know, are you willing to, if Jesus does say something to you today, are you willing to do it? You know, I don't know how many dog lovers out there we got 11-year-old Lab who selectively hears come, right? You know, she responds to bone and treat really well. Come, not so much, you know? It's like she doesn't hear me until I say the word she wants to hear. And some of us are like, oh, I want to hear God here, but if God says something over here, am I willing to respond to that? And again, just knowing God will love you and be with you as you do it. And then I love this, and it's why we do our small group fair as we're in the middle of this. Jesus shows up when the disciples take what God said to them and shares it with somebody else. Then they experience a work of peace that they've never, ever had before in their life. And I want to encourage you, sometimes, especially if we're an introvert, we feel like, or have been in church a long time, and yeah, I'm just coming and nodding my head, and it's like, no, hey, find a small group. Find a place to see Jesus in a brand new way in your life. And sometimes the intimidation we feel, and by the way, the small groups out there, they're just the new small groups. There are over 40 adult small groups this summer. So the new ones are out there, plus you can go online and see all the rest of them. But I want to encourage you, take a step. Even as a couple, right? Even as two who need to make sure they're seeing Jesus correctly. God's going to do it. So, I think Pastor Brian, why don't you, Pastor Brian, we were talking about this series. He said, oh man, I know this one course that is just everything about it. And I'm going to invite you, if you would, to stand as we get ready to wrap up. It basically says, I need to hear from you. I'm going to invite our elders and also our other pastors and spouses, anybody else who helps us out with prayer ministry on Sunday morning, would you come forward? If, as we're in worship, you're like, you know what, I need that extra person to pray with me, and I just need another way God could speak today, feel free to come on up even during the song, and just let God speak to you and minister to you this morning. Pastor Brian?